Justin Jefferson out for now with what's being called mild hamstring sprain. He missed the end of practice yesterday. Is that a biggie? Biggie? No biggie?
I'm reading strain. It sounded like you said sprain, not to freak anybody out there, but we had the whole carted off.
What's worse?
I think sprain would be worse than a strain.
Okay. Can you sprain a muscle anyway? I misspoke. Strain it is. When he comes back, who knows, but it might not be until week one. Right? I mean, would you play Justin Jefferson in the preseason anyway?
No, it's just like new receivers here we talk about. They're going to do their work in practice. Allen's not going to play a lot in the preseason, so they're gonna have to figure out what they're doing and what the pecking order is with everybody, you know, in these joint practices and the regular practices, and I would think the same would go for Minnesota whenever he's healthy again. I wouldn't put him on the field in a preseason game.
I wonder, and I know you are wondering as well, what happens to his ADP, Jefferson? Right now, he goes second or third all the time. Right now, I did it again. Sam Paniatovich in our presence, in my presence, and here I am talking about fantasy football. Well, I guess I do have the addiction. On the Western Hotline is Sam Paniatovich, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Sam and Joe Ostrowski host Bet Sweats weekday mornings 9 to noon. Sam was on with Kate Constable today, if you want to check that out on the Odyssey app. And I'm pleased to announce that Joe will be on our show again this football season. Thursdays is what it's been. So Joe on Thursdays and Sam on Fridays. Can't get enough of you guys.
I appreciate that. I can also inform you guys that I am playing hurt, much like Justin Jefferson. I am still dealing with abdominal trauma from my 2 a.m. Burger King order the other night.
I believe that.
I think I do believe that.
I don't have any trouble believing that.
That can take a couple of days, maybe.
Yes.
Sam, I mean,
I woke up the next morning, man, 7:45. I beat the alarm up. I was like, oh, Lord, there's a brick in my body, and I did it to myself. It's just the worst feeling in the world, that late night fast food that you don't even remember ordering. Oh, nothing like it.
And you know when you do it that that's going to happen.
Yeah, you're counting on it. It's a part of the attraction, maybe. I don't know.
Somehow it is. Sam, on your show this morning, you did one of my favorite things. I didn't see what sparked it, but it probably was the throwback uniforms. Looking up Pro Football Reference type pages from a century ago. And, you know, seeing 0-0 ties and games just not being played for some reason. What do we have recently, Bulldog? One Tonawanda, one team that played one game.
Right,
ever.
And then they folded or... Yeah, right.
That's a fun one.
So that always happens when we have a fill-in host and the guest is late. There's always that panic in the back of your mind, like, where is this going to go? So the reason we did that is because one of our guests was a little late, and that was the guest that was yawning during his hit this morning. I don't know if you caught that, too.
I didn't, no.
Yeah, it's a summer, baby. Everybody's asleep. So Kate comes back, and we're trying to just punt until we get the guest on, and she's like, did you see those new Packers uniforms? And I'm like, no. So then I'm Googling on the fly new Packers uniforms, which kicks me to an NFL.com release. Apparently, they're going to wear the 1923 Acme Packers uniforms this year.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just breezing. I'm just trying to grab anything I can find. And I eventually get to the Wikipedia page for the 1923 Green Bay Packers season. And the final scores, guys, are a joke. 12-0, 3-0, 10-0, 10-7. There's a 0-0 tie against the St. Louis All-Stars. The football was very bad, and I assure you it was very, very white back in 1923.
What would betting have been like?
I mean, I don't know. The totals would be like 7.5.
Right. Will there be a touchdown? Might have been about an even money bet in the game. Or will there be points? It's like betting soccer or something. Well, yeah. I mean, belated congrats to Curly Lambeau's 23 Packers on a fine season.
Sam, yawning is nothing. I when I worked mornings here at this station, we had the great Emmanuel Stewart, boxing announcer and boxing trainer on. And I mean, I don't have the audio to prove this,
You don't need it.
I am positive that he was going to the bathroom at one point during our number one, but still, you could hear it, and it was plain as day. And my partner and I were just looking at each other, going like, and we turned the mics off. Is he? Yeah. I think okay. All right. We just kind of kept going, but it was.
So did he.
Yes. Finished her off.
We had a guy on once. This is years ago. I was living in Vegas hosting with a buddy of mine named Matt Humans at VEASAN at the time. This is 2018 or 19. And we had a guest that I don't know how. I guess he was just in the trance of being on the radio and being on the phone, and he didn't realize what he was doing on the side. So he's talking. We had him on about 3-4 minutes. And then at the 5-minute mark, as he's wrapping up one of his answers, you hear a toilet flush. And it's as loud as that. The toilet somehow took over his voice. So you just hear, and then as Humans and I just lose it. I mean, how do you keep a straight face when your guest is literally on the toilet on the show?
Yeah, at least the thing I'm talking about was maybe like very early 2000s. So like phone technology. I don't know if you notice this on your shows. I hear it all the time on ours when we talk to people on cell phones, and you can hear their turn signals clicking. Now the phones are so good now. Maybe Emmanuel Stewart, in his defense, thought like, the phone won't pick this up.
Or he didn't care.
Right.
He had to go. Simple as that. So did Sam's guy. With Sam Paniadovich here on WGR, do you have NFL awards lines handy?
I do, yes.
What's the better bet? Travis Hunter to win Offensive Player of the Year or Travis Hunter to win Defensive Player of the Year?
Do you want rookie here or player?
Rookie. Right. Thank you. Rookie.
I wish they had one award because I don't really like either of them. Now, a guy that I know who's close to Jacksonville says the fact that they took him as high as they did and brought in Liam Cohen, conventional wisdom would tell you that they're going to use him more on offense, but I just don't know the split. And, you know, if you take a guy and you play him 35 snaps on offense and 30 snaps on defense, are those snaps good enough to get him over the top? I don't know. I mean, you did ask me A or B, so I guess I would go offense. But then we had a guest on yesterday, Evan Silva, who says he thinks Ashton Jeanty is going to lead the league in touches. So it's a very good question. I don't know that I have a good answer for you. I'm inclined to think he gets more offensive snaps because that's what Liam Cohen comes from. Of course, he's in that Shanahan McVay tree, so they're going to try and use him all over the field, guys. But I don't know that I would make that bet on either side. Of the two, I'd lean offense, but because we don't have a rookie of the year in totality, we split it offense and defense. I don't think he's winning either one. I don't think he's going to play enough.
If they were combined, he would be the favorite.
He'd be minus 500.
Okay, heavy favorite. What are the odds on offense and defense, if you know?
So your favorite for offense is Jeanty, and then it's Cam Ward. Those are the two guys around 3-1, depending on where you look. And then, good grief, my guy Omarion Hampton, who I remember talking about on this show at 16-1. DraftKings has 750 on him right now. Other books have about 10, 12. So, look, there's a lot to like about a Harbaugh running back in year one. And this is a guy who's a home run hitter and a three-down back. And it also helps my bet that Najee Harris was blowing off fireworks in his face on the 4th of July. So, because, like, Najee was supposed to be the guy who came into camp, like, the guy to beat. And I don't know that he's in good flavor right now in Los Angeles. So, look, Hampton to me at 16 was a bet. At 10, I still think it could be worth a bet. I don't love 10 when you could have bet 16. But those are your three heavy hitters, Jeanty, Ward, and Hampton. And then on defense, it's Abdul Carter and then everybody else. So Carter's like 2-1, 2.25, and then Travis Hunter's 10-1. So a big gap there on defense.
Hampton is still a great idea, I think. I know there's always, like you were talking about Apple stock the other day, there's always what I could have had it at.
Right. It's still a pretty nice number, though.
Yeah, the Harris thing, fantasy is in love with Hampton right now. As soon as the Harris news came out And then it was kind of weird what was actually the case with him. He's on the field. You can't really see his face. The coach has been kind of vague about it. It all sets up for Hampton to be week one starter. I mean, easily. And if he's good, that's a great offense and a great coach for him to have. And, you know, Genty's on the Raiders. Like, it's pretty – if Genty and Ward aren't great, then Hampton's in great shape to win that award, I would say. So 10-1 sounds pretty good to me.
I just think you have to look at how Harbaugh is going to operate with the offensive coordinator in tow. They are going to be a run-first team. Yes, they have Justin Herbert, but they are going to use this kid potentially as the focal point of their offense, and he comes into a really good spot. I mean, look at the way that they've built that offensive line the last few years. I mean, they have multiple guys they believe are going to be Pro Bowlers. You got Slater at left tackle from Northwestern, Joe Alt from Notre Dame at right tackle. They went, you know, first round there. They like Zion Johnson at center. They bring in Becton, who was blocking for Barkley in Philly. I mean, this is a very good line. This is a top 10 line, if not better. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman are going to run the ball, which will open up the passing game with Justin Herbert. So that is a run-first head coach and really has been for a long time, despite being a quarterback in the NFL.
I realize that this might be pretty far down the board, but I've been seeing a lot of juice on Ezeraku, the pass rusher in Dallas, second-round pick. Is he on the board for Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year?
Oh, yeah. I see a 25-1 at one book. Oh, geez, I got to spell that name in my prop shop. Good luck. Holy crap, man. Ezeiraku. Can I buy a vowel? Let me just talk here. You guys talk, and I'll look him up. You guys just talk, and I'll type his name in.
Always back to Dallas when Sam is on.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm intrigued by them, and anything that sort of pushes me in a direction to like the fact that I have them to win the division in this 8-team parlay that Sam and I put together a couple of weeks ago, you know, and there's an opening there. I mean, they lost the other edge guy, and, you know, he's not at the top of the depth chart or anything. He's outranked right now, but I just wonder if that's a guy that, you know, might flash. He seems like he's flashing early in camp. There, did we talk long enough?
He is as high... Yeah, you did. I had it actually 5 seconds in. All I had to do was type in EZE, and he was the only one that populated.
Right.
EZE. All right.
RIP, baby, with his White Sox hat on. Defensive Rookie of the Year, 25-1 is your high side. And then there's a 22-1 at BetMGM. But it's basically a $3 range, yep. 22, 22, 24, 25, 25. Look, it's usually a guy who gets to – the quarterback, that's certainly the way it goes. I mean, you look at, let's go back to 2018. Shaq Leonard, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Micah Parsons, Sauce Gardner, there's a corner, then Will Anderson and Jared Verse. It's a guy that gets to the quarterback more years than not.
Sam, what's hot right now in terms of NFL futures? Is there something that you've seen market movement or that you keep hearing or reading about that people are into? It's still so long before the season starts. But what do you think is trendy?
Oh, the trendiest thing in football is Ben Johnson, Coach of the Year.
Okay.
Which I would not bet. As a Chicago kid who was a Bears fan for a long time until he had to cover the Bears and realized, wow, this is a dysfunctional team. I'm not betting 7-1. And this happens every offseason in Chicago. The hype is just... it's just cyclical. I mean, last year, Matt Eberflus was the favorite to be Coach of the Year, and he should have been fired on Thanksgiving. So, you know, depending on where you look, one book has Vrabel favored. A couple others have Johnson favored. I mean, I'm reading the reports out of Chicago. It's like, oh, Caleb Williams is throwing picks. The offense isn't lining up correctly. Ben Johnson's screaming at the ones. And it's just, I would never do it. And, you know, another thing that we had Silva on yesterday, Evan Silva, I thought he made a great point, because the narrative around Ben Johnson is that he is the answer. He is the next coming of Christ to some people in Chicago. And he was kind of the reason they lost that playoff game, because they started running receiver reverses and, you know, passes to the left tackle, and they got really, really cute, and they got away from Jahmyr Gibbs. And now it's just like this locked decision that he's going to solve Caleb Williams. And I do not think that's the case. There are going to be a lot of growing pains there. This is a quarterback learning his essentially third offense in less than a calendar year. Because this time last year, he's working under Shane Waldron. Then Waldron gets fired, so they learn the Thomas Brown offense, and now he's learning Ben Johnson's offense. So it's just the Bears hype every year, only to be explained by Ben Johnson being favored to win Coach of the Year with a team that's always on the rise of being a sneaky team. And I just laugh every year. The Bears are going to win 7 games, and Ben Johnson will not win Coach of the Year.
That award is so hinges on expectations. And I wonder what the voters would do with the Bears and the Patriots, who both have high, high picks at quarterback going into year two. Like, I think a big Caleb Williams year or a big Drake May year, that could go either way. That could be like, give the coach credit, or it's about the player. When you have an established... Jacksonville might be interesting here. Liam Cohen, I'm seeing, is the third choice, at least in one sports book. And what is Trevor Lawrence? Would he get... I think he would. I think he would get a lot of credit for elevating Trevor Lawrence if he can do it, even though that's another guy. I mean, he's not that much older, right, but also a first overall pick. This Browns coach keeps winning because he's nowhere at that position, and the Browns aren't even good.
They play 6 guys, but he makes the playoffs anyways.
Yeah, so... I don't know. That's always a big part of the evaluation for that award. And I think both the Bears and Patriots coaches are well-respected in their own ways. But they also have big talent at quarterback that should, you know, make it easier for them than it would for other guys.
We did this segment, I want to say, last November, December. Joe and I went back and looked at all the guys who won Coach of the Year and basically what the team was supposed to be before the season. As we know, guys, it's not the best like coach of the best team.
Right.
It's like Andy Reid, Sean McDermott, like those guys get docked because they're coaching good teams. Andy Reid's won Coach of the Year 1 time. That's a travesty. I mean, he's the best coach in the league right now, I think. And last time he won it, well, the only time he won it was 2022. But usually it's a guy who takes over a team that won, you know, 4 or 5 games, has a win total of 6.5, and then that team wins 10. Like Brian Daboll is a perfect example of that. He comes to New York. New York was bad. They flirted with 10 wins, and he won the Coach of the Year. You know, Kevin O'Connell takes over a team that isn't good, turns them into a playoff team. So you really have to find the coach of the team that's supposed to be bad that ends up being good and wins close to 10 games. Those are sort of the parameters of what NFL Coach of the Year has turned into. Like, for example, Sean McDermott right now to win Coach of the Year is 50-1. And like, my comment to that is, what do the Bills have to do for him to win? Do they have to go 17-0?
Close.
16-1, maybe, yeah. Right.
Close.
Yeah.
Basically. Right. Basically.
Yep. The answer for that, I mean, I understand. I see it the same way you do. Carolina's guy is interesting then. Dave Canales, who has a good reputation. He has already gotten credit for kind of saving Bryce Young. And if that takes a step forward in what could be a weak division, 10, 11 wins, he would qualify. I think he's somebody that voters would want to support.
Yeah, and he checks that big box. I think the biggest box in that market, NFL Coach of the Year, is you want to bet a guy who takes a non-playoff team to become a playoff team. So, like, let's throw Dan Quinn out because the Commanders made the playoffs last year. Dan Quinn is 40-1. You're looking in that wheelhouse of Vrabel, Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen, Aaron Glenn, Dave Canales.
Say Brian Schottenheimer's name. I want to get back to Dallas.
Schottenheimer, 25-30-1. Yep, exactly. Like, that's what you need. You need to find the right horse that takes the team from a non-playoff team to the playoffs.
Aaron Glenn, you mentioned. Pete Carroll. All right. So is it all – it's not all NFL in there. You're doing baseball every day, college football too. But next week, Sam, the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, I'm ready, buddy. In fact, I have – you'll love this. We have a guy from Chicago – I've known him 15 years. He only does this for the Hall of Fame game. He calls it the suicide teaser. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
So it's a 10-point monster teaser where he comes in every year Hall of Fame game and he teases both sides and both totals. So he's butterflying the Hall of Fame game. So the example, Detroit and L.A. Chargers, it's a pick 'em. So he's got the Lions plus 10 and the Chargers plus 10. And then the total is 33, so he's got over 23 and under 43. He does it every year for the Hall of Fame game.
I bet he wins. A lot of those games seem pretty much the same. 17-13, you know, just close and boring.
He does pretty well.
I bet he does.
He does pretty well with it.
I can believe it. All right, Sam. Well, excited to talk to you again today. What have you got going on this weekend?
I'm going to see Ohtani pitch. He's coming to Fenway Sunday.
That's good.
Giddy up. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's right. That series begins tonight, right? Who's going? Do you know who's going tonight? I haven't looked.
Yeah, it's Bayo and this guy named Emmett Sheehan. I misread it as Ed Sheeran this morning, but it's not Ed Sheeran starting for the Dodgers. It's Emmett Sheehan against Brian Bayo.
Yep. Very good. Enjoy that and the game on Sunday, and thanks for your time again today.
Thank you, guys. Go Bills, and most importantly, Bulldog, go Cowboys.
Sure.
Most importantly. Right on. Sam Paniatovich.
What has happened to my life?
Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. I think, I don't know, I'm not going to go looking. I could. That day when you and I did the 18 division thing, I thought I placed one or two of those, but
don't seem to know where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Maybe I didn't because I did want to learn more about what was causing the odds to flip.
Yeah, right, right.
It seemed like they were doing it counterintuitively. Yeah. The favorite was winning you more. But I never did that. This is how I am with everything.
Oh, I should look into that.
That's right. That's where it ends.
Yep. Underdog.
Underdog. Yep. Oh, I'm on the clock in 11 drafts. I have to do that now.
For me, it's there's a guitar over there. I'll just do that for a while.
You know, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Sure.
I don't need to be placing all these losing bets.
Or spending all this time researching.
Yeah, I'm not going to bet it, what a waste. Odyssey Sports, BetMGM Insider, Sam Paniatovich. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. For all of your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app. And again, Sam with Joe Ostrowski, weekday mornings 9 to noon on the Bet 1520. Sal is next. We've got a hint at another Bills uniform rivalry game. Week 5 against New England, there's that. I've got one thing to bring up with Sal as far as that goes. We'll find out how practice went and get into some different Bills topics next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Happy Friday. This is WGR.